house party, but I'm so old now. But I'm glad you guys do it, okay? While you can, do it. Because once you have family and little kids, I mean, look, I was still up last night, just for all the wrong reasons. Anyway, it's been such a great weekend. Guys on Zoom, we've missed you. I saw a few people online, and I noticed some of you had come up, and then you're back home now. And so thanks for making the effort to join us. And I think Zoom's a great thing where, though you're not here with us physically, you can still join us online. So praise God. And I know some of you guys are sick as well, so we hope that you do get better soon. And thank you for loving us enough to stay home. So that's very nice of you as well. And the last thank you I have is thanks for being so nice to my family too. For Marianne, Isabel, Abigail, Rosalie, we've all loved our time here, and it's been just such a joy to be around you guys. Okay, we're talking generations and the church. Now, I want to remind you that one of my prayers, next slide, was to do this with the talks, right? To help consolidate this new intergenerational community that you have, and then to teach what it looks like to be an intergenerational community in principle and then in practice. And I hope that you felt that, or you've got some of that, or it started the conversation. If not, sorry, I'm trying my best. But look, today I want to really try to make it very practical and applicable to you as a church as 10:45. And so for the guys that haven't been here, please share with them, tell them what's been going on, and keep this conversation going. Quick recap. Talk one, two kind of main points we learned. We learned that, and can I say, Roland, you really just encouraged me and warmed my heart with the things. I don't know where you're sitting, but yeah, with just how you said, it really warms my heart when people actually listen and that it helps. Even if it's just one person, I praise God. That's it. It's all worth it. We're a generation that commends the works of God because we've experienced the love of Christ, that work on the cross. And then the other thing is to see that we have actually a whole lot more in common than we realized. What? You two? You are not the only one. There are so many of you who know the Lord Jesus, love the Lord Jesus, and share the Lord Jesus. Okay, so that's talk number one. Talk number two, we talked about generations and family. And then Ben, I don't know if you guys planned this, but man, you two tag team warmed my heart. Talk two, we're not a group of polite strangers, but a proud family brought together by Jesus. That changes everything. That changes how you see and relate with one another. Again, not just chucked in together, not just multi-generational, but intergenerational. Older people, we're meant to see them, not just as older people, but as mothers and fathers. You're not meant to be afraid of your mother and your father. You're meant to share your joys, your ups and downs, find comfort, protection, strength from your parents. That's how you should feel when you look at an older person here at church. And younger people, you're not meant to think, crazy, stupid, energetic, sleepless nights kind of people. You're meant to think younger brother, younger sister. Right, all of the future and all of the hope and all this excitement still before them. You're meant to think, how can I protect? How can I encourage? How can I cheer them on? You're not meant to be afraid of your family. You're meant to be afraid of the people here at church, right? Because they're your mothers, your fathers, your brothers, your sisters in Christ. Okay, today talk about the church. I wanted to start with this passage in Ecclesiastes just to ground us here, to see the time that we are living in, because this is a unique time that you have together. And this is a beautiful poem in Ecclesiastes 3, this word of wisdom in poetry. And who would have thought that after so many years, verse 5, I don't know if you picked up on it, verse 5 is so timely, right? There is a time to embrace, and there is a time to refrain from embracing. Like, this is the pandemic we are going through, right? This is you guys online refraining from embracing. This is so specific to us. But I praise God that things are getting better now. The pandemic is easing, or our ability to adapt is getting better. Things are opening up, and, we're coming able to do house parties, meet together. Like, I praise God that we can actually start doing this again. But the point of Ecclesiastes 3, next slide, is kind of told to us at the very beginning, right? There's a time for this, a time for that, a time for this, a time for that. The whole point here is verse 1, there is a time for everything, and there is a season for every activity under the heavens. In your lives, there will be a time for all of this. Whether you come or you go, there is a time for it. And the wisdom here is to know, what are you doing with your lives? What are you doing with your time? Everybody gets the same 24 hours in a day. What are you doing with it? What time is it in your life, and what are you doing with it? Because time's going to pass us by. Days turn into weeks, week turns into months, months turn into years, and before you know it, well, years become, well, you, decades. Thank you, brother. Should get you, Reverend Luke, to preach, please. There's a point to all of this. Ah, you see, so it wasn't, what I wasn't going to say, decades. What I was going to say, then years become, well, your race, you feel like you've run to the end. And you feel like you're on your final lap. And you're thinking, what am I doing with my life? Right? So we need to slow down. We need to reflect. We need to take time to stop. I want you to take time to stop after this house party to meditate, to consolidate, to think, to slow down and go, hey, what is it that God has been telling me? What does God want me to do with my life? And not just go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and next thing. And before you know it, you don't even know what you've done. And it's just been a waste. Right? So pray. Ask the Spirit to illuminate, to reveal, to guide your step. Use your time wisely. I hope as you have conversations with each other in the different generations, you are able to do that for one another and go, yeah, this is what I do with my life. You're in this season now. Look out for these things. Enjoy this moment. You may have sleepless nights with kids, but these are precious moments where your kids will only ever be this cute at this time, right? That's what you can do for each other. What I want to do today, in the time I have left, and where's Stephanie? Stephanie, remember? Okay, just cut me off when it's time. Okay, here we go. I want to spend some time telling you what I think, okay, as a brother, what I think the season of life is for your church. Okay, as a brother who's just from an outside perspective, coming in and just spending time with you again, I want to just give you some words of wisdom, because this applies to the church. You need to think carefully what you do in the church. It's not just same old, same old, same old. You don't just keep doing it over and over again. There is a time for every activity that you do in the church as well. And I want to suggest to you that there are seasons of ministry in the church, right? Not just in your life. There are seasons of ministry in the church. And knowing the season you are in is going to make all the difference as to how you grow together. Seasons of the church. Next slide. There are spring, summer, autumn, winter. Springtime in the church is a time when things are fresh, vibrant, new, right? There are new buds, new shoots. In terms of ministry, it's new activities. There's a new buzz, a new energy, a new excitement happening around, right? There's new growth. And this is the time for nurturing, for planting. Summertime, sun's out in the sky, you know, days are long and everything's in full bloom. Crops are ready, right? Leaves are all out. In terms of ministry, your programs, the activities, they're now mature. Things have actually started to stabilize and they're comfortable. You're in a nice kind of routine. Things are familiar and they're enjoyable, right? This is what ministry is all about. In summertime, it's a time for playing. It's a time for reaping. It's a time for enjoying the fruit that was budding in spring. Autumn is a time when, you know, the leaves kind of change color. Things get a bit dry. Things start to fade, right? Energy is not really there anymore. Programs go into this maintenance kind of mode. It feels like you're just going through the motions, being there, done that, and you're just holding on, and that energy is not really there. Things are starting to stagnate, decline. The buzz is gone. You're on autopilot now. And autumn's the time to kind of transition. You don't stay in autumn forever. You move, you transition. So it's a time for planning and for preparation. And then comes winter. Winter is when things shut down. Things freeze over. Things go dormant and quiet. Programs are kind of just barely hanging on by a thread, just kind of trying to hang in there before they close down, right? It's hard to move in winter. Hard to do new things, try new things. Things are kind of empty, lifeless. Winter's a time for perseverance. Bunker down, right? Protect and prune. Get rid of the old stuff, the stuff that's useless, dead, and not there anymore. Question for us, what season is CCC in? What season is 1045 in? I want you guys to, when you have time, to talk about this in your discussion groups on Zoom, in your breakout groups, talk about this. My suggestion, my thought is that you, CCC, are in spring, right? There's a new 1045 service. You've just come out of winter and you're moving towards summer. The winter that we just passed was COVID. The spring that you are in now is this new intergenerational service. And the summer that you are moving towards is the maturity that will come from having everybody working together as one community. That's the next slide. There you go. So we're new now, but we will become mature. And then you will see the fruits of this ministry. This is the opportunity that is set before you. And I hope you're excited about this. I hope that the buzz and the energy from a new service, a new thing, is still there and it's not fading yet. I hope the freshness is there, right? Because it's springtime. Now I want to give to you seven words of wisdom from a brother, okay, to you. And I hope this encourages you, gets you thinking about this time you are in, and most of all, gets you talking and praying and moving forward. All right, buckle up, because we're running. Number one, manage your expectations. Look, you are in spring, you're not in summer. That means everything isn't sweet and rosy and worked out yet. Don't fall in the trap of that I generation, wanting everything to be instantaneous and done right now. This new service will take time. You are still budding. You are still shooting. You are still growing. There are new activities happening here and there, right? Which means you need to nurture, right? You need to be gentle. You need to be careful and kind. Things are fragile still. Things are flimsy still. That's what these new shoots are all about. You're not in summer yet. Don't rush the process. Right now, you need to be cultivating, caring, planting, trying new things, and looking after this new shoots that are coming out with this new service. And one day when you get to summer, you will see the fruits of it when things are mature and strong and no longer young and fragile. But remember this, you just started spring and you came from winter, right? COVID was that cold snap freeze winter for all of us. All the programs of the church closed down. Doors of the church are physically closed. Programs were shut down. Everything transitioned online, and we got back to the bare, the core essentials, the necessities of what church is all about. Right? Things were frozen and cold and hard. That's where you came from. So if you're in spring now, it's going to take time to break through that. People still shaking off that winter freeze. Don't rush it. Be patient as well with people as they get on board with the new program, as they come along to the new service, as they transition from Zoom back to in person. You came from winter. But remember this, you're in spring. So there should be an excitement, right? And you should praise God that you're in spring. I hate, and I don't know how I would survive if we were still for another 2 years of COVID. Right? I joke with Marianne, I'm pretty much an anti-masker now. Like, I'm so tired of wearing masks, right? I'm so tired of having Zoom conversation. I'm so tired of all of that. I praise God that we're not in this winter anymore, that things are getting better, things are opening up, and it's a great time. Don't take that for granted that you're in spring. You could still very well be in winter. Praise God for it. All right, point two. Get ready for change. There is heaps of things changing and you need to be prepared. It's going to be uncomfortable. And the kind of change you are going through is growing pains. Okay, so if you're feeling the pain of growing, right, get used to it because it's a good thing. It means you are maturing. It means you are strengthening. Don't avoid that kind of pain. It's normal. It's right. It's good. Growing pains are healthy. It means you are growing strong. The new time slot is a huge change. You went from either 9:15, 11:15, 4 o'clock to now 10:45. You did this for years, For years, I went to the 5 p.m. service, and I can imagine how shocking it would be to then start going to this new time slot. My whole Sunday routine would be changed. Instead of going to church in the afternoon, I went to church in the morning as well. But forget that for the point of this illustration, okay? Instead of going to church in the afternoon, I now have to do church in the morning. That is so jarring and so different. I also feel for you because this winter that you just went through, you never got back to your normal. You never were able to get back to your original services in a sense, right? You never came back to the normal of 4 p.m. or 11:15 or 9:15. What you came back to the normal of was this new 10:45. So there is a mourning kind of period here. There is a letting go, a saying goodbye, a appreciating and thanking God for what was, and then stepping forward, moving forward. You're going to have new patterns, new routines. For some of you, it's going to be better than others. For some of you, it'll be worse. But for all of you, it will be different. How you get up in the morning is going to be different now. How you spend your Sundays will be different. How you spend your Sabbath will be different. If you feel like this is unsettling, if you feel like this is disorientating, you feel like this isn't comfortable at all, then I want to tell you, you are in the right place. You are going through the right kind of thing. This is a growing pain. It means, if you're feeling these things, that change is happening and you are maturing. And it will take time. It will take time. But if you haven't changed and your routine hasn't changed, well, the truth is you're not here with us. You're by yourself at 4 o'clock. I don't know what you're doing. You're just there, okay? But you got to take the time and acknowledge things are different. Last thing, there's a new location. New location's big as well. I remember spending my time at in the main hall. I had my favorite pew. I don't know if people know where I sat, but I had my seat. I loved my seat. But it was my seat not just because it was mine, but it's because there I met God. There I had conversations with people and broke down into tears because I felt either so, well, humiliated and hopeless and useless, and then felt so loved. Right there, I have so many memories, and I've grown so much. I had these places, and then I remember visiting with my family, and now like I don't get to go there. I go to an orange seat in the, you know, in the hall, and what I remember about the hall is, I don't know, stupid games that we used to play, food that we ate, and just mucking around a whole lot. And it's a completely different feel. Like, I don't get the nostalgia and the grandness of God and His majesty. Like, I kind of get, you know, like, I don't know if Auntie Isabel is here, but I get the feeling of Auntie Isabel, all the aunties and uncles around me in the hall, and us always laughing and talking about food. But it's different. Now, I want to say to you, if you haven't found a seat, find one. Keep turning up. Make that orange chair yours. Bring a cushion if you like. It doesn't matter. But find that chair. Keep sitting in. I want to tell you, it's a different place, but the key things have not changed. God and the people of God, the things that made that seat special, are still there. Okay, it's going to take time. It's going to be uncomfortable. But again, it's a growing pain. And that too will pass. Okay, point three. Oh, yes, I get the point. Skip to four. Oh, okay, this is still your church. I'm looking at you, Stephanie. This is still your church. Okay, this is still your church. With all of these changes that are happening, you might feel lost in church. You might feel like, oh, I don't belong anymore. I don't know all these people near me. I don't have my same routine and pattern. I don't have my seat anymore. Right, it's no longer 9:15. It's no longer 11:15. It's no longer 4 o'clock. You know, now it's 10:45. But who owns 10:45? You think the pastors own it? You think the elders own it? You think the deacons own it? You think the people who made the decisions own it? If you ask them who owns the church, they say you do. Or they say you own the church. It's your church. The last thing that the pastors, the elders, the leaders want to do is take the church away from you. You are the church. They want to give you, they want you to belong, they want you to feel, they want you to take ownership of the church. If you feel like you're lost, then rejoin. Rejoin the church and realize that it is still your church. Believe it or not, you are writing the history of the church now. You are writing the history of CCC 1045 now. You have a voice. You get a say. The elders, the pastors, the leaders, they all want to hear what you think. Their ears are open. Their hearts are open. They want you to shape, to make the church what it is, because they realize they need you as much as you need them. We are an intergenerational church. We need one another. You own it. It's a new chapter you're writing, but it's the same story. The same story that God has been telling through his people at CCC from 1964, when it was a fellowship. Excellent. All right, you're not a spectator at church. You're not just watching church. You are a contributor. You are a living stone. You are part of the church. This is a new identity, but it's the same story. Okay, point four. Think opportunities, not obstacles. You are one community, right, at 1045. It hasn't just been a bringing together of generations. You know what it's been a bringing together of? It's been a bringing together of gifts, of talents, of really good-looking people and really smart people. You guys coming together, that's, look, come on, own it. Reverend Luke, this is for you. You own this one. Okay, this is what's been brought together. So I don't want you to just think, well, it's too inward-looking to be like, oh, we just have to be a supernatural family, hold each other's hands. There is so much more going on than that. You have a great purpose. You don't just have great potential, you have great people. And God has brought you all together for this purpose, for a time like this. I'll talk to you about parking. I hear parking coming up a lot, right? And I get parking is an issue. Right? Parking is difficult. I know how difficult that was back in my day, let alone now. But here's what I want to say. I find it hard to believe that with a group like this, a supernatural family like yours, that parking could still be an issue. Come on. You are CCC. Right? You're not just some little pushover, tiny, insignificant church. You are CCC. You are good looking. Brilliant. You have gifts. You have talents. You have experiences. You can figure this out. No, you can't? On a serious note, I want to say this to you though. If the only thing the church contributes to Milson's point at 1045 is parking difficulties, right? Because let's face the truth, that's all of us driving in, we cause the problem as well. If all we do as a church at 1045 is add to the parking problems, then maybe we deserve this problem after all. I want you to see, the church, you guys are made for something more. Reach the world is your vision statement. How are you making a difference in Milson's point? Why not just solve this problem, not just for yourself, but solve it for the community in Milson's point? See, if all of you parked further away, not only would it help others come to church, you'd also help Milson's Point community in general. Everybody else who's struggling for a parking spot will thank you because you have given them one. But you know, I want you to think like this. Don't think obstacles, think opportunities. Think opportunities, okay? Do something more than just fixing problems for yourself. Fix problems for this world. That's who we are called to be. Now, Zoom, or this hybrid online and on-site and online kind of thing. I think it's incredible that you have a Zoom community of about, I don't know if you know this, but you have about 100 people online. Now, I've visited a whole lot of churches lately, and none of them come close to having that many people online. You know, most churches have given up on online. See, worshiping God online, okay, has just been way too difficult for churches, and they've given up, right? Because it's been so passive, it's been so anonymous, it's been so unaccountable, it's been so convenient, it's been so consumerish. If I can put it this way, people have given up on online. Well, churches have given up on online because it's become slack and just, in some sense, an easy way to keep God at arm's length and God's people at arm's length. Now, I'm sure that's what none of you guys are doing, okay? Because you're good-looking CCC. It's not even part of my script. I don't even know where that came from. My point here is you have a unique opportunity with Zoom. You are the leaders here. You're pioneers in Zoom. I know that when I was at my old church, we looked at to see what CCC were doing with online services. And so now you have 100 people still there. What are you doing online? How are you growing in worshiping God online? Is it, again, just what I can get, what I consume, what I take out, log on, log off? Or am I actually growing in my godliness, in my faith, in my love online? See, to me, I think Zoom is now in an autumn kind of season. Things are opening up again. Lots of people have moved away from online, coming back to meeting in person. And things are kind of just trudging along now, right? You watch the Zoom, you log on, you log off, and that's kind of what we do. Things are kind of stagnating with Zoom. Question is, if this continues on, will you end up in winter and it just slowly dying and fading out, right? And people getting harder and harder, and it's getting closed, and it gets closed off and then finished? Or will you go into a new summer where things are vibrant again? Remember, in the midst of COVID, I think this is one of the bright spots where God really opened up an opportunity for people to meet online, to share, right, to grow, to see that they can still meet together even with these physical restrictions. What are you doing on Zoom? Are you worshiping God, growing as a family, or are you keeping God at arm's length? Point five, prepare for a fight. Look, what you want to do is noble. Having an intergenerational church is actually a biblical and a wonderful thing, but it's difficult. And there are going to be so many things that want to stop you from succeeding. Sin, Satan, and self-centeredness are all going to get in the way. And they're also very subtle. They're not going to come up to you and say, "We don't want you to have this service anymore, shut it down." Right? It'll just creep in here and there. One action here, one less conversation there, one harsh word here. And slowly you'll see that this family that you want to bring together will break like any other family. So remember who the enemy is. The person next to you is not the enemy. You're not fighting one another here. Keep your eyes focused. Prepare to fight. Fight for what is right and good, but also fight the enemy. And that's why I want to say, you need to pray. You must pray. There has to be a quantity of prayer and a quality of prayer, because you need to know what God's thinking about this. You need to make sure God is on board with this, that God's on the same page, because if God is not in this, then this is empty, hollow, and this is actually a whole waste of time and a very big pity for all of you. Right? So pray. Pray. Number six, relationships take time. You're not going to build relationships that are deep and meaningful overnight. Don't think that this camp is just going to, again, snap it all together and everything's going to be sweet. It's going to take time. It won't happen overnight. As that tagline goes, it won't happen overnight, but thank you, two of you. Right? It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. One conversation after another. Just keep turning up. Have patience, have consistency. But the key I want to just give you today is vulnerability. Open up and share. Sometimes we think, oh, if I share this, what are they going to think of me? They're going to think I'm a clown. They're going to think I haven't got my life together. They think I'm going to be a big mess and they're going to avoid me. I want to say to you, what I've found in the church and in CCC especially, the more you open up, the more you are vulnerable, the more people actually get closer to you. Is that it? Yeah, okay. Five more. Oh, thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, this and this are very different. Be vulnerable. And as you open up, you're not going to push people away. You will find people will come closer to you. Try it, right? Try it. Just be vulnerable with others and see what happens. See what happens. I want to say your pastors and your elders and your leaders, they're people too. They're trying their best, right, to love you guys, to serve you guys, to be there for you guys. And they're trying their best to keep it all together so that they can be strong for you. But look after them. They're people too. All right? They're not superheroes as well. They have their own problems and their own issues. So as they try to help you burn brightly, help them to do that too. Don't let them burn out. Don't let them get weighed down. Whoa, it's like a soft spot here. Okay. And that's why number 7 is what you need to know. Jesus loves you. If you forget everything else, oh man, this is the one you need to remember. This is the one you need to write down, actually. Jesus loves you. The church is not perfect, but she's precious. She is so special. Please do not take this for granted. Please protect the church. She is the bride of Christ. She is loved by Christ. You are the church. You are loved by Christ. If you are struggling, if you're going through stuff, if you feel all alone, know that Jesus is there for you. You have nothing to be ashamed of. The church is not perfect. Don't be ashamed of the church. Don't be ashamed of the church. She's precious. All right, let's wrap it up. Wrap it up. Okay. Ecclesiastes 3 was where we started. The wisdom of the teacher here is to tell us there is a time and place for everything. He goes through this list and he tells us a time for planting, a time for uprooting, a time for this and that. He ends it in verse 11 by saying, He, that's God, God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to the end. I want you to see that the teacher here is trying to tell us that there is a time and place for everything here and now, but there is also a time and place for eternity as well, right? For forever and ever after. The thing is, though, for the teacher, The thing is, though, for the teacher, he does not understand what this eternity is. You see what he says? He says, God has set eternity in the human heart, but no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to the end. And I want you to see this, okay, CCC? You are wiser than this teacher here, because you know what this eternity is, right? You can fathom what God has done in putting this eternity into our hearts, can't you? Next slide. You can fathom it because you've seen it on the cross. You can fathom it because Jesus died on the cross, and in doing so, God was telling all of us in no uncertain terms, your eternity is with me. That's what God is saying. God is saying, your eternity is with me. I want you in eternity with me forever and ever and ever. You see, we're not like the teacher in Ecclesiastes, where he doesn't know what his eternity will bring, and so he concludes with despair. We, because we know Jesus, have an eternity with God that is set before us, and that's why we conclude with joy. We know where we're going. We know how the story ends. We know where our eternity will be. And this joy that God has set into our hearts is the very same joy that got Jesus through the cross. The last passage I want to share with you is from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Right, it's the same joy that we read here. For the eternal joy, the joy that was set before Jesus, right, that's him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This joy that Jesus has, that was set before Jesus, is the same joy that is set before us. So I want you to know that you actually have something that nobody else has. You have eternal joy. You have something worth sharing. You have someone worth sharing. You have God to commend. So I'm excited for you, CCC. I'm so excited and I'm so like pumped up for you guys and just what God is doing in your midst. Last slide. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, okay? Consider him so that no matter the ups and downs that you go through, you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. Don't sell yourself short, okay? I know I joked about it, you good-looking people, but you are people with eternity. You are people with the joy of the Lord. So let's pray and let's thank God for that. Lord, we thank you so much for everything, in particular, this joy that you have set it before us because of our Lord Jesus and what he did on the cross in bringing us back to you. In this time which we find ourselves, by your Spirit, give us that strength, give us that wisdom, give us that power to live wisely now and forever. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.